Podcasting 2.0 for May 1st, 2026, episode 259, Slopjacked. Hello, everybody, from a very blustery Texas. It's cold. It's rainy. Is this really Texas? Who cares? It is time for Podcasting 2.0. This is the official board meeting of all things podcasting from now on until the future. This is where it all happens. We are, in fact, the only boardroom that works on May Day. I'm Adam Curry here in the heart of the Texas Hill Country and in Alabama. The man who wants all your CSV base to belong to us. Say hello to my friend on the other end, Mr. Dave Jones.
I think you mean the dude in Alabama who owns chickens. I think that's what you mean.
It's funny you said that. I was like, hey. The dude in Alabama who owns, so we're talking about Pod News Weekly Review, also known as Power, with Sethi and the Criddler. And I got Sethi and the Criddler.
That sounds like a morning show.
Everybody, it's the Criddler. Sethi and the Criddler. Criddler, 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 Criddler.
Every weekday from 5 to 9.
So I love my robot because I just tell my robot, go get me that clip from the Pod News Weekly Review.
Did it?
And it did, and here it is.
I really like your show, James, but I wish you'd stop talking about Adam Curry.
I love my robot.
Did he say that on the show?
Yes, he did.
Oh, okay. That's funny.
I have not touched editing software for 3 weeks.
Editing software? What do you mean editing software?
For making clips.
Audio?
For clips, yeah.
So you don't even have to clean them up anymore?
No, I just tell the robot, here's what I tell the robot. Go listen to that 3-hour congressional testimony, summarize it, tell me what you think are some good bits, find a story arc, find the arcs within clips, make the clips, go.
Go.
And then it drops it into my Obsidian folder, neatly categorized. And it's not always perfect, it's pretty good.
Yeah, but what about the audio, like the levels and stuff?
It normalizes. This is all FFmpeg. Oh yeah, it normalizes everything.
All the things you would normally do.
Everything I would normally do, and sometimes it has, it'd be like, someone on a phone call or just some muffled audio, and I say, "Hey, robot, clean that up." And I do the transcription with Whisper, but I do one on together.ai. So it uses the biggest, baddest mofo Whisper model it has. Word for word, JSON pops out. So it can, with frames all the way down to frame level, so it can cut exactly where you want it. Oh yeah, it's awesome. It's saving me hours of time.
I can't.
Yes, so Eric PP. I've been using that on No Agenda for the past 4 weeks, maybe 3-4 weeks.
I saw that Bloomberg article come out today, but I
the one that we were. Oh, I have a subscription. Hold on. Do you have the link?
I think
Bloomberg.
So.
I got a subscription because the oil baron kept sending stuff to me. I'm like, I can't read what he's sending me. What is this subscribe today? What is this? I'm already subscribed, man.
So you're the reason that Bloomberg still exists.
I'll be the first to admit that, yes, I actually pay for content. I'm a horrible man that way. Let me see.
I can't remember what her name is. Ashley Carnes.
Ashley? Yeah. Let me see. Is there a search here somewhere? Would it be under AI maybe?
Because here it is. The audio industry is grappling with the rise of pod slop.
Can you post the link?
I can.
Subscriber. Oh, what is this subscribe? I am a subscriber.
You're not enough of one.
Oh yeah, there's different levels of subscriber.
You need to be more of a subscriber.
Let me see.
Even more.
Do you have the link? Do you have a link?
Yeah, but my signal is opening and it says loading messages from 7 days ago.
Oh, you can't just pop it into the boardroom? There's a thought. Just saying. Come on, man. There it is. Thank you.
There it is.
Let's take a look.
Welcome. It says undefined on the end, but this has nothing to do with Nathan Gathright, I promise.
Let me see. Pod
Bloomberg. Not a Nathan's property.
The audio industry is grappling with the rise of pod slop. Pod slop.
Are you able to read it?
Yeah, I can. Welcome back to Soundbite. This week, we take a look at the wave of AI-generated podcasts. Podslop, the song that's flooding the listening platforms. Okay, let me see. Caught up. On his own podcast last week, Dave Jones.
Dave Jones. Podsage.
Who operates the podcast index.
Operates it.
No mention of you.
Marveled at the scale.
It's absurd,
he said. Welcome to the modern era of podcasting, which thousands of new shows are released into the world every day with a sizable portion likely being AI generated.
That is true, by the way.
Yes. So I got to.
Shoot me a copy of that.
A copy of this?
Yeah, just that article, because I'd like to read it, and I would like to read it without paying $11.99 a month. I figure I'm entitled since I was quoted, right?
You're quoted, yeah. I thought you were going to do this on background.
Eric PP said, the chicken guy?
He's the chicken guy.
The chicken guy.
Well, let's just start with that for a second, because there were some, I thought the interview with Alberto from RSS.com, on Power was pretty good.
Yeah, me too. Alberto's just top. I mean, he's great.
He's a top-notch dude.
He does not give a bad interview, and he's just a genuinely good person.
He's also like, I'm a scientist.
Yeah, I would love to see him with the coat, like the big long coat and everything.
So there were three clips that I pulled because he's, so, you know, RSS.com started with the opt-in AI tag. So you can say it's, and I use RSS.com for a couple different things. So you can say it's fully AI generated, uses some AI elements, or you can just not do anything, which, as he rightly says, is also a signal. Right. And I realized I'd been thinking about this tag incorrectly, because I kind of thought, well, you know, if you're doing AI, you know, and you don't want anyone to know, you're not going to fill out that stupid tag. So this clip kind of set me straight.
But there's no policing of that either from Apple. Should it be less a voluntary disclosure and more a mandatory disclosure?
Well, that's a point. The disclosure is voluntary in the sense that you have an element when you are uploading an episode where you can specify whether the podcast contains elements of AI. We'll get there later. You need some guidelines there, because elements can be anything. But the voluntary disclosures paired to internal policies at Apple, for example, in platforms or even institutions, can become mandatory, because if you are in breach with Apple terms of service because you didn't disclose, then they can act. So the nuance of non-disclosing, once there is a disclosure and you are required to do that, even if it's voluntary, if you don't do that, then you are in breach. So there could be an action taken. That's where I think the detail is very important. So an episode which is generated by AI that should be disclosed, like AI voice, AI script, no curation, it's in English and or it's in Spanish and you get English prompts from an LLM, that is made by AI. If you don't disclose, someone removes the episode, and I think they have the right to do so, depending on the platform service and terms and condition.
So now I understood. Okay, that makes sense to me. Like, if someone says, hey, this is a piece of slop, and they go to RSS.com and say, hey, this is slop, and they go and look, and it wasn't disclosed, then you violated their terms, and they can kick you off. So from the hosting company's perspective, great idea. That made sense. I never really thought of it that way. It's like, who cares? You know, if you're going to signal it to me as slop or not, or AI generated. So Alberto has a PhD in artificial intelligence, I think. or he has a PhD in something that includes artificial intelligence. So he really wants to make this work. So I thought that was good. Then he said something which, of course, I knew he was talking about me.
Many people are barking in this period, you know? They're just saying, that's a problem, we have to solve it. It's about money and advertisement. But really, if we disclose, we follow regulations, and we together as an industry go towards the same direction, this is a problem that can be solved, really. And
Yes, that would be me barking. And the reason why I'm barking about that is because it is a scam. And I just want to explain the scam. And I'm sure everyone realizes it because there's two sides to the scam. One side is you just have a large language model, a bot, create podcasts, create episodes. The scam is that you have advertisements, two typically pre-roll. The scam is on the listening side. Go look at the numbers at Livewire. The amount of browser traffic has increased. There's so much scammy stuff going on with downloads that this is where, and it's no, as JCD would say, no sweat off my balls, but it is going it is going to affect advertising. So it may be a little win in the short term, and the platforms do make some money off of that. And, you know, it could be hundreds, thousands of dollars a month. I don't think it's huge yet. It could be bigger. But advertisers are eventually going to say, wait a minute, you have these things automatically created, and then you have on the other side, you have these things that are automatically listening. That's stealing money. So, yeah, I'll bark about that a little bit.
The digital advertising business has proved completely inept over 25 years now at combating all of the things that we know that are going on that are scams.
Yes.
Like, click fraud is just as prevalent today as it was 25 years ago. And so, and there's never been a comprehensive a battle against that. Like, it's just part of, I think part of it's because Google owns 90% of the digital advertising market. So it's sort of, a lot of it's obfuscated, but digital advertising fraud is not, you know, that's, and like one of the scam, and it doesn't even have, it doesn't have to be. I think back to Spotify a few years ago, there was these stories about streamers, and this was actual organized fraud where there were people running like banks of cell phones, like 200 cell phones streaming all day long of different Spotify, you know, different Spotify songs in order to boost streaming downloads so that they could boost, you know, you could essentially buy these fake streams. And now that's just flat out absolutely fraudulent. But the there were people who had music on Spotify who were buying those streams, increase my stream services, and defrauding Spotify and therefore the music companies. This is a little different. Because the way streams are in the music world are all first party. There's no way you can listen to a stream of music and not be logged into something with an account. And so all the data, the advertising, all that stuff is all in line in a first party context. Podcasting is different. Podcasting is completely unregulated and open in that way. So you can, anybody can come along and download a episode of your podcast, and you have to sort of figure out after the fact what that thing was, where did it actually come from? Was it a real person? Maybe. What was the device? You really don't know.
This is true, but I think that it's solvable. It's not actually an AI problem. This has been going on since advertising started in podcasting, fake downloads. And there's lots of filters and heuristics and ways that people can figure it out. Can they figure it all out? No, absolutely not. I'd say home-based routers are probably the number one place where this is taking place, and people don't even know it. You know, there's entire bot networks that take over home routers to do stuff like this.
Right.
The solvability is in how we as a group of crazy people decide to hand over first party data, which is, you know, it's possible. So it's not something we're going to solve. I'm just saying, once again, the metric that is used for podcast advertising is poor. It's poor. And we could do better, but will anybody? I don't know.
So well, I guess what I'm trying to say though is that this, I'm going to put scam in quotes because scam implies that somebody's doing something illegal, and I think this is all squishy, and so that's not what I'm saying. But the sort of download art of, if you want to boost your downloads of your podcast artificially, and I honestly ought to do this one time. I ought to do this someday, maybe soon. We should go do one of these download boosting things and just see what happens. Because we're on OP3. We could see it. We could see the effect of it. In fact, I am going to do this. So in the next few episodes, I'm going to sign up for one of these download boosting services like Mopod or one of these. And you'll get you get a bump in your downloads.
Mm-hmm.
Isn't this that's magic, right? Well, isn't this magic?
Yeah. Well, yes.
Because there's ways to boost your download numbers in podcasting that do not involve botnets of router armies fake downloads.
Of course, I agree with what you're saying.
But it's still, it's not fake downloads. But it's still there's this gray area in the middle where it's not fraud, but it's not real people interested in your podcast. It's a squishy middle where you're getting downloads in ways that are just like.
People not listening.
Right. Okay. Very temporary. So
But the thing that we used to have, you had to at least create a podcast. Now you can create 300 podcasts a day.
That's an hour.
Yeah. That's the fraud part. So it's just, it doesn't matter to me. But advertisers at a certain point will say, you know, this podcasting stuff, it's too squishy.
It's no sweat off my balls.
So, you know.
Yeah, that.
Yeah. So I'm just saying we're talking around the problem.
Well,
Bark. Silas on Linux. Silas on Linux said he boosted Bark for me. 3996 Seth, thank you.
Yeah, right. Salty crit, like Tucson Dental Care. Yeah, Tucson Dental Care, the pod spammer extraordinaire, evidently.
Yeah, that's amazing. Dozens of them,
all over the place.
Transform your smile while with Tucson Dentist.
Yeah, and you get that thing right into Apple Podcasts. So yep. now you have SEO from an Apple.com domain, which you've won the digital Olympics.
Mm-hmm.
So yeah, this is, and there's, they're on every host. They're spread out. There's somebody is doing this.
Yeah.
I don't know who it is, but somebody is doing this. And there's a difference between, let me see if I can find, let's do show and tell.
Oh, all right. Show and tell everybody.
Dental. Oh, here we go. Top Dental Crown, Tucson for perfect smiles. Okay, so there's a difference between this paste, podcast index ID 7747008. That is protect and preserve your damaged or weakened teeth with a custom crafted dental crown by author GKY74. And then something like Phoenix. Let me put my hands on it. Auto. Yeah, here. This is podcast index ID 5876525.
Oh, I may have to listen to it now. Is there actual audio? Let me see.
I'm sure there is, yeah.
Ooh, ominous.
Which one is this?
This is Drop Top Beamer.
Hello, everybody. Welcome back to another episode.
No, that sounds like a real podcast, Dave.
Yeah, that's what I'm saying. So here's the difference. The title of this podcast in the title field of the XML.
I see it. Phoenix Auto Detailing LLC. Well, I mean, is that a problem?
It's not a problem, and that's my point.
Yeah.
One of them is a dentist in Tucson. Mm-hmm. The other one is a auto detailer in Phoenix.
Yeah.
But the two, so both are local business advertising, essentially. Mm-hmm. But one of them is just purely a placeholder for SEO and nothing else.
Right.
The other one is an actual podcast. Yes, it is a branded podcast for a local business, but that's fine.
Nothing wrong with that. No.
Nothing wrong with it. They're actually doing a show.
Yeah.
The other thing is just using the podcasting ecosystem platforms as a way to get backlinks into search engine ranking.
Right.
I consider one of these completely legitimate and one of them abuse. Well, one of them is platform abuse.
On the dentistry, so I just want to warn that we don't go down a certain path because this also came up in Power.
If you are a independent content producer, you are being swamped by these slopcasts and by people that frankly don't care about you, they don't care about the audience, they don't care about anything other than, can we make another £2.20 by fooling people that this is a real human being? Or, even worse, by calling someone a doctor, a spam voice, but calling them a doctor and giving medical advice, which may or may not have even been checked by a human being. Terrifying. Absolutely terrifying.
Yeah, don't go down that path because now you're talking about something different. And there's a lot of doctors who will kill you with their advice who are human beings. So don't go down that path. I think that's the wrong way to look at it.
I agree with this, maybe with a little bit of a different twist. I know what you're saying. You're saying, you know, that's
don't trust Fauci is what I'm saying.
That's the censorship. that's like now you're being in your editorializing.
Yes.
I want to make a different point about that, which is, I think I understand why he's saying that, and it's a legitimate concern because. Calling your AI host a doctor is that's kind of over the top. I mean, that's crazy. But I think I would be careful about using that too much as our example.
Yes,
because it gets the eye off sort of the bigger issue.
Yes,
I don't want to get too focused on things like that because it's the bigger problem, I think, is what he said at the beginning, which is the slop is overwhelming the system. And we've always said there is no podcast industry, and I still believe that. What the podcast, quote unquote, podcast industry is just a sort of a meta narrative on top of just a bunch of hosting providers and XML and things like that. We create this idea of there being an industry over the top of just a bunch of stuff. Mm-hmm. And so I still agree with that, but there is a distribution system that is in place that's like Apple Podcasts, like Podcast Index, like, you know, Pocket Casts, you know, the everybody who has a directory created their directory, listen notes, created the directory with a certain idea in mind that there was a thing that was called podcasting and we could sort of inventory that thing and display it back to the world through podcast apps as a way to find the content that people are looking for.
Yeah.
And I've tried to shift. This is difficult and I'm still not successful at it, but I've tried to mentally shift from the standpoint of we're going to find every single podcast, meaning every XML with an enclosure in it, to something slightly different, which is we want to have a copy of every podcast that somebody would ever look for. If somebody wants to find it, they should be able to find it on the podcast index.
Okay.
That doesn't mean that we're only going to have that, but to me, that's my, what I'm trying to shift mentally into that as my baseline. Because if nobody ever wants a thing, then it might as well not even exist. It's sort of like the tree falling in the woods. Does anybody hear it? It's sort of an irrelevant question about whether you have it if nobody ever wants it. And I think we're going to have to, in order to accomplish that goal, we always have and we always will have way more content in the index than anybody would ever want.
The question is, how do you get it when someone wants it? How do you surface what they want?
And that's part of what we already have a facility in place for that. And that's when somebody searches for something on the podcast index, hourly, we go back and we look for things people searched for that were missed. So if somebody searched for something, a feed URL or an iTunes ID or something like that, and it didn't show up, we didn't have it, we will go get it. So we sort of backfill behind people searching for things and those searches not showing up any results.
And how does that process work, the backfill?
Well, if it's a feed URL and we don't have it,
we go find it.
It just gets added. Yeah, if it's an iTunes ID, it gets resolved and we'll add it. I'd like to go even further. I can't find a real sane way to do it yet, but I would love to go and try to figure out if something looks like an exact title and then go really do searching across various repositories and try to find that thing. But we backfill a lot. We do that a lot. But I think the point is like, what even is the point of us?
Now you're talking. Why am I even here? On my Friday afternoon, I have this many other things I could do.
Yeah. I mean, are we an API for app developers? Are we a research tool? Are we a utility for the hosting companies? Are we a shim for tags, a spam filter, an XML catalog of audio? Are we a message bus? I mean, right now we're all of that.
Yes. But the genesis of it is that the genesis of this project, we'll just call it a project, is that every single independent developer was looking at the Apple database, and that was the source of truth because there's just too much out there to store it all in your app. And Apple decided to take things out that they didn't like. That's the genesis of the project. And then part two of the project was, well, since we're here anyway, why don't we extend RSS and build a namespace, which according to Rob Greenlee is fringe and no one cares.
Rob Greenlee is off the chain. Okay.
Rob. Even the Criddler defended us on that one. That was appreciated.
Yeah, that was appreciated. Yeah. Rob's lost his mind.
Like, just because we're not doing video. Fringe. Okay.
Anybody checked Rob's medication? Is what I'm saying.
So I like what we've become. I like that we're this universal resource that is, I think, also universally appreciated and used by many different constituencies for many different things. But the ability to become a better discovery/search/recommendation engine would be something incredible.
Yeah. I mean, like, I feel definitely that we're going to have to weather the current storm to a degree.
According to Bloomberg, you're the guy. So
the chicken guy,
the chicken guy, some dude in Alabama with chickens runs that thing, man. Just saying.
We're all gonna have to. It's not just us. You could see this coming a mile away. It's not. You could see this coming at the end of last year. It's not just us. It's GitHub.
Yes. Yeah. Exactly.
GitHub is what the latest numbers I saw this week was that GitHub has had a 14x increase in commits.
Oh wow! Oh man!
How does anybody absorb that much traffic?
Yeah, that's a great question.
Really, we're at a particular moment in time where this stuff's we were not prepared for the slop,
slopocalypse.
For the slopocalypse, nobody was. It's not just podcasting. Nobody was prepared for this, and that I listened to a good interview last night with the guy that created the Pi AI coding agent. Don't know if you're familiar with
this. No, I'm not.
So it's what OpenClaw is based on.
Okay.
My understanding is OpenClaw just took Pi and forked it and it became OpenClaw. Yeah.
Oh, interesting.
So Pi is like open code, but it's less opinionated. It's highly customizable. I really want to try it. It sounds like a cool thing. But the creator of Pi was saying that they had a real in-depth discussion about just what has been happening with all of this. Mm-hmm. And he said that he immediately closes all pull requests that come from an AI agent. Just immediately.
Yeah.
He doesn't even look at them. It's just auto closes it. And he has basically an allow list in a file in his repository. And it's like, unless your GitHub name is on his
list,
you can't open a pull request without it being auto closed. And so it's like this, he uses it as a sort of filter. And like, if you contact him in an out of band way and he knows who you are, you get on the list and now you can do pull requests. And it's just this, that's the creator of one of these tools, you know? Even the creator of one of these prominent tools is having to put a whitelist in place in order to keep this stuff to be manageable. And I think here's the issue. There's going to have to be some grace given because we are humans trying to deal with an automated onslaught of content. And we are going to get some of it wrong. And that's what he was saying. He was like, look, there's probably some pull requests that get sent to to the Pi repo that are actually really good and they would fix real problems and we should merge it. But I can't do it because I do not have time to review 300 pull requests a week. I can't do it. And so all the good stuff is also going to get cut, is going to get thrown out. The baby's going to get thrown out with the bathwater in some circumstances. I heard somebody, you know, I can't remember who this was, but I heard somebody a long time ago say, if you put on white gloves and go and work out in the garden doesn't get more glovy. No, those, you're going to get dirty. And that's what's going to happen. And I think that's the point James was trying to make when he said that everybody was, real podcasters are getting overwhelmed with a wave of slop, is because this is going to dirty us all up as this process unfolds. And so the grace is going to have to be, let's not start telling each other that, let's not start complaining that we're doing censorship and all this kind of thing. We're trying the best we can to deal with this. And there's going to be mistakes as we go through this process. There's going to be a mess, but this truly is a new thing that we've never seen before. And so it's going to take time to figure out how to deal with it properly.
You know what I also think? I think this may be temporal. This right now we're in this mode of, look at all the stuff I can do. What shall I do? Oh, I'll do this. You know what I mean? It's like people haven't used their imagination. Like, okay, so I have this capability, whether it's OpenClaw or Pi, or maybe it's just Claude code or Open Code. I can do all this stuff with my computer. I can tell my computer to do stuff. This is the dream. This is what I've been watching this since I was 5 years old. Computer, do this. Computer, tell me about this. Computer, write me a Word document. Computer, all these things.
Yeah.
And I think where the energy will flow eventually. So again, I mean, I don't know if it's that lucrative to be doing this podcast round robin. I think it's cool. You know, I can see where people look at all these podcasts I've created. It's amazing. But that will wear off and the money will taper off for a whole bunch of different reasons. The industry will kind of start to figure this out. We'll work through that. Mm-hmm. But what's happening is something, I think, much bigger. And I've already made that leap. You know, I'm using this now for my production in ways I never imagined possible. My computer is actually working for me, doing things I used to do by hand. And when people start to figure that out, I think we'll have a shift that may be so dramatic that your phone might not even have as many apps. Your phone will just do things you tell it to do. It'll have input with voice and output with text, voice, and video. You may not be, you know, copy paste. That's for pussies. We're never going to do that again. Ever. Ever. Yeah. Send this to Dave. You know, get the text of this Bloomberg article, send it to Dave. I think that creativity hasn't quite sparked yet, but it's going to happen. And so and by the same token, people will want to say, just find me a podcast that has this. And my phone or whatever will come back and say, well, here's some options. Well, tell me what's in them. Okay, well, this sounds like an automated voice. I discard that. Yeah, this sounds like a doctor, but you know, I cross-reference. He's kind of sketchy, so maybe, maybe not. You know, I think that's where it's going to go. That's the beauty of what's being built here, particularly with LLMs that do coding. And we have enough of the chat bots and all that, fine. You know, but your computer actually doing something for you instead of this clunky graphical user interface with a mouse. You know, Dvorak will be barbaric. Vindicated. Dvorak will be vindicated. Yes, the barbaric mouse. You know, it'll be something completely different. And we just haven't, you know, now that everybody has these tools, the few who are super creative just haven't broken through yet, but I think they will. And I think that is what you're looking at, because you are super creative and you're going to find out the path to this. And it's probably not desperately trying to fight the slop. That's going to taper. Now, there's...
I hope. Well,
so for instance, the pie guy, like, I can easily see writing a bot that says, okay, go through these 300 pull requests and make an estimation. Find the 10 that you think are worthwhile and show those to me. I think that will fix itself. I'm seeing it already. I couldn't believe what happened. Can I just give an example?
Yeah, sure.
So for yesterday's No Agenda, I had 29 bins with clips in my Obsidian daily folder, which all had 2 to 4 clips each in it. So there's a lot of clips. And, you know, so that, you know, I had Iran, UAE, Iran, Trump's what he's saying, you know, gay General Patton, Scott Bessent, you know, all these different things. Then I have under computing, like Sam Altman, OpenAI fighting with Elon to Anthropic pricing, all these different things. And this is now on Claude 4.7. I said, make meta categories of this. You know, so put all the Iran stuff under Iran. Just make Medicaid. It comes back with a markdown document that not only did it have meta categories, it suggested which clips to drop, which clips to use, which ones to switch around. I was blown away. This thing just saved me 2 hours on a prep day. That's the kind of stuff that we're going to start getting if we focus on it. And all the slop stuff, temporal. I really think it's temporal. And I of course hope so for you. So what I'm saying is, let's just say the slop is unsloppable to a certain degree, but what people really want is they want to find what they're looking for. And if anyone is uniquely positioned to build that, it's the podcast index, because only we have some dude in Alabama with chickens.
let me show you what we're not going to get rid of while we're doing show and tell.
Okay.
Podcast index ID 7829041.
Okay.
Link in the boardroom.
I'm looking at it. Yeah, it's loading. Shakespearean tragedy. Yes. Okay. With Matilda.
Now, before you Ridgeway. Hit play.
Okay.
Before
I hit play.
Don't even look at what host it's on. Don't do anything.
I'm not looking at anything. I'm looking at the picture.
Tell me what you think this is.
Well, I'm looking at the picture, and I think in no universe is there a chick that looks like this reading Shakespeare. That's my first inclination.
Okay.
And can I read, or am I allowed to read the descriptions?
Yes, absolutely. You just can't listen to the audio yet.
Okay. First episode I see, Shakespearean tragedy with Matilda Ridgeway. In this conversation, we dive into the depths. AI language. We're diving into anything that's already a flag for me.
Look at the top level description under the main.
Oh, yes. A deep dive into the world of Matilda Ridgeway, who plays Lady Macbeth in her tour with the Bell Shakespeare production. Oh, so this may be written by AI, but she may be an actual cute actress. So I'm curious. I am pod curious at this point.
Let her rip.
Welcome back to ABC News Radio. My name is Pooja Smith. Today, we're diving into the dark, patriarchal world of medieval Scotland.
Okay, all righty then.
not what you were expecting, was it?
No, not at all. But it's okay, I'm not hurt, because I can just mark this as not what I wanted.
Right. So this is an example of something we absolutely will never. We're not going to get rid of this at the index.
No.
And the thing is, even I spent a few minutes looking at this week, trying to figure out
what the point was.
It caught me off guard, because I'm like you. I looked at it and I was like, "Yeah, that's AI." And I'm like, "I'll just double check and hit the play." And I was like, whoa, this is like a 13-year-old Indian girl. What? what, or Pakistani or something. I don't know. I'm like, what, who is this?
So this to me this seems,
but this is great though. This, you, nobody will ever want to listen to this podcast except her. Well, nobody.
But I think this to me seems, this looks like a typical open claw gone rogue, create a podcast, grab some audio from somewhere and publish. It worked. That's what this feels like to me.
Maybe. Yeah, maybe. I mean, it feels there. I see tons of this on like Anchor and Spreaker of, you know, some teenager that's just having fun.
Yeah. But the description is, it throws you off. I mean, if you're having fun, why would you do that? Matilda Ridgway is a real person.
No, she has a full on, a fake interview with herself playing both characters. It's great. Oh, I listened to the whole thing. I listened to like the whole episode.
Now there you go. So it's valid. Valid. It's completely valid.
I was like oddly fascinated and couldn't turn it off.
All right, Dave, we need to get you a different hobby. This is
okay. I am going to make a plea here though. Can I make a plea?
Yeah, make a plea.
Okay, my plea is somebody please, and I'm not very comfortable asking for stuff like this, but somebody please either donate enough money to us, about $3,500, enough money to where we can buy a hardcore machine like a DGX Spark so I can train this model, or send us like a 64 GB Mac Mini or something.
Oh, it's a donation drive. Here we go. I'm good at these. I can do donation drives. All we really need is a $3,500 machine and we will solve the problems of the world.
Yeah, because my 16 GB Mac Mini M4, it cannot handle what I'm trying to do. It's like it is crying for help. So I think in order, because I'm doing all this at home because we can't afford to pay some kind of AI API cost in order to filter all this stuff out. So I'm literally just running all of this and training this model locally. So my plea for help is somebody send us a big ass Mac Mini with a bunch of RAM or about $3,000, $3,500 to get a DGX Spark or something where we can have a local machine capable of keeping up with what we're trying to do, because it actually is.
So we can't do this with a rented GPU. Have you looked at those?
Not the model training part. I think that's going to take a long time. But okay, so that my plea is over. But okay. Cost wise going forward, though, I think this makes financial sense for us to just own it outright.
Okay.
But on that note though, I did finish the API
endpoint for
the CSV upload.
Very excited about this. Give us your data.
Data.
The follow count API for CSV uploads. I'm very excited about this.
And so I'm gonna publish the spec for the endpoint and how it works. But here's the idea: this is for the intended audience for this is podcast apps. So if you're not a podcast app,
then you can stop the podcast. Stop listening.
Forget about it. So we would want people like Podverse, Overcast, Pocket Casts, Castomatic. I don't know if Franco even has this data. True Fans, you know, obviously just everybody. If you're a podcast app, we would like you to periodically, if you can, or if you're willing, upload your follower count data to us through this endpoint. And so it's a post. It's a post request with a multi-part upload format. And it's just a CSV file. And again, I'll post the details of this. What I'm going to do is go back and do a proper, like open API implement it, like spec. Mm-hmm. So I'm going to get all that cleaned up. So I'll post the details of how to do this shortly, and you'll upload the CSV, and the CSV just has two columns. I'm just trying to make this effortless for people, cause I don't want anybody to have to jump through a ton of hoops. It's a feed URL and follower count.
Well, the good news is, Sam Sethi already had this built 3 months ago before you even asked for it. So it's coming from true fans first.
He's just been getting a 404 on that API request every day.
He's been hitting every it. Been hitting it.
I got you covered, Sam. You're coming in clutch. You'll just, if you can, just periodically upload this. And it's a list of all the feed URLs, feed URLs in your system, and how many of your users/listeners follow or subscribe to that feed.
And so that will be used for ranking in returning of search results, I presume.
Yes, that's going to be used for so many things. This would be so helpful for us describing how. So we don't have access to first party data
and don't want it.
We don't know and don't want it. But we do want to have some way of knowing what is actually popular and being actively listened to and followed in the world.
Yeah.
And that will help us to the immediate way that it helps is going to be with training the model, because you can't, it's always way easier to find the bad feeds than it is to find the good feeds.
Ones. Yeah. Like this one you just posted, which is your new favorite. I know you're subscribed to that girl.
Oh yeah. I'm it'll never have another episode, but I'm refreshing every day. We need, in order for the training data to make sense, and like we said last week, it's going to be developing your training data is the hardest part. Because we need it to be comprehensive and we need it to be balanced. I'm aiming for about 25,000 feeds of each type. And I'm not worried about the slop feeds. I'm not worried about the spam feeds. Those I can get those in a day. It'll be so easy to get 25,000 mm-hmm. of those. Mm-hmm. The good feeds, finding 25,000 feeds of all different flavors and varieties that people actually follow listen to.
This will be so good. So good to have this.
Critical.
Yeah.
Critical.
Yeah.
And then we can not only use it to train the model, but then we can also use this for accurate ranking. And this has the added benefit of being cross app, because each app has its own flavor. Mm-hmm. The number of people who follow a certain podcast on Fountain is going to be completely different than the number who follow yep. it on TrueFan.
Now, will you have that ranking? Will you take that into account? So let me see if I can explain that. So if mm-hmm. someone's on Fountain and they're searching for a Bitcoin podcast, they may actually want something different than someone on a Podcast Guru who is looking for a Bitcoin podcast. Does that make sense?
Yeah, for sure. Oh, yeah. I know what you're saying. Mm-hmm. Because you may have both people may be interested in Bitcoin, but
different kinds.
Different reasons. Mm-hmm. Yeah. Yeah, for sure. You may have one person who listens, to Peter McCormick, and another who listens to a bunch of Wavelake.
Yeah.
So this should normalize that across the whole thing. That way you don't end up biased real heavily towards, Because imagine if only Overcast sent their data to us.
Well, I'm saying, Lord help me. No.
you'd end up with a whole bunch of, like, a whole bunch of shows that are Mac specific. You see what I'm saying?
Like, well, know, but yeah, so my question, or what I'm saying is, will there be a way for a podcast app who has a user who is looking for something? So Overcast, great example. Okay. So that user will probably want something different than the Fountain user. So does it behoove us to normalize it, or does it behoove us to say, well, if you're this app, you might want these results?
I think we could do it in both ways.
Okay.
You know, because that'll be the cool part, is that we could say, do you want a normalized ranking of, because right now in the database, we have a column called popularity.
Mm-hmm.
And everybody wonders what that is. So do I.
It's just whatever some dude in Alabama with chickens really likes.
Yeah, it's exactly. It's the backcountry redneck scoring system. You know, you break out the 22, shoot a few bottles, and figure out what comes next. I don't know what that column necessarily means either. And I'm the one that wrote it.
Yeah.
But I mean, I know how I'm deriving it,
mm-hmm.
which I don't really like to discuss publicly because I don't want it to be like, you know, gamed out or anything, but it's just been sort of trial and error over the years based on API traffic.
Mm-hmm.
And it's just not good enough.
It's not good.
It's not good enough.
It's not good.
So we can replace that with real data.
I love it. When I saw that on the index, on the social, I'm like, oh man, this is so cool. It's so cool.
Yeah. I think it's going to work really well. There's a few unknowns here. Obviously, I don't know how many people will participate. I really hope it's a lot. I hope that people don't, because this is complete. This is purely anonymized data. There's no.
Well, we're the right guys to do it. We're the right guys to do it. We're not going to try and make money off of your users' data.
True. Yeah. Yep. Yeah.
So if
that's true,
you know, Apple can't do this because Apple will somehow make money off of your data. Everyone knows that.
When I was talking to Ashley Carmen on the phone, she's like, so you partner with hosting companies and blah. I was like, no, we don't really partner with them. I mean, I think maybe she didn't really believe me that she was finding it hard to believe that there was no like financial incentive in what we're doing.
hence the dude in Alabama with chickens. He's just some weirdo redneck. Does he live in a trailer? Does he live in a double wide? Ah, now it's making sense to me.
Yeah, you're either lying or you really are a kook. Why would you do
that
for free?
I'm from Bloomberg. What's wrong with you?
Yeah. So like, yeah, I think you're right. I think it is the right place to do it, I think. And if we can make this work, man, that would be boots on the ground, real numbers.
And it would be the tide that lifts the boats.
Mm-hmm.
Everyone who uses the index can say, we help you find what you really want.
And we can push that date, the popularity column that is in the downloadable weekly database. We'll just update that with this normalized info or whatever we want to do it.
Yeah.
And it makes that download so valuable.
Yes.
Immediately, everybody can update their recommendation engines with real data,
including advertisers.
True.
Think about that.
Yeah. And I'll look, and I also think we'll probably be. We are probably, I hope to be very surprised by what we actually find out.
Yeah. That No Agenda show, man. Everyone's listening to that.
Oh, by the way, when I was working through I've been doing like almost nothing but this stupid model training for so long now. And as I was going through some, I was trying to figure out how some data set format stuff. And, at one point in the conversation that I was going back and forth with It wasn't Claude. It was Quinn 3.6, the 35B model.
Mm-hmm.
I'm going back and forth and just trying to format some data, and I was like, okay. I referenced a quote good podcast, and it was like, well, you know, your data set needs to include a big cross section, and it was giving examples of all the different sort of categories of podcast that would be good to have in the data set as on the good side of things. And one of them was No Agenda.
Yeah, baby. Yeah, baby. Yeah.
You're you're in the model. You're like in its
nice. Core
knowledge base or whatever. I was like, wait a second, what?
What? It must be off. Something's wrong. It has to be.
This is completely.
It has to be diary of a CEO. Otherwise, it's not right. That's the only one that matters. Diary of a CEO.
I bet we're going to find that there's some very listened to podcasts that never get any mention in the media.
Oh, yeah. Oh, for sure. For mm-hmm. sure. Well, that's great, yeah, Dave. So we'll I'm very excited about that. I think that's awesome. I love that you're doing that.
The upload limit right now, I don't even know what to put it at.
Well, you have 50 megabytes, I think, was what you... I don't...
Yeah.
Right? I got 50 megabytes.
Yeah, I just picked 50 megabytes. I picked it out of my butt. I have no idea if that's right. I don't know. I don't know, but we'll find out when somebody tries to upload one and they get a, you know, an error.
So can I just share something with you?
Yeah, sure.
So I told my robot, prepare the OPML for podcasting 2.0 for today.
Okay.
And at the top, the robot puts Dave Ships, first party data at the app level. New podcast index API endpoint shipped April 30th. Apps with publisher API keys can now post follow count CSV uploads back to podcast index format. Feed underscore URL, comma follow underscore count, max 50 megabyte upload. Dave, colon. First party data at the app level is something we've never had, so we've been handicapped. This will be a critical step to getting the training data set for the new model training as well. Why it matters, colon. Up until now, Podcast Index inferred subscriber counts from indirect signals. Apps directly know who subscribed, but had no way to share that back without privacy concerns. CSV of totals threads the needle. This is my robot.
Threaded the needle.
This is my robot. This is my robot.
Nothing but net.
It's like I used to have producers. I remember what it was like. It's coming back to me now. The only thing this thing doesn't do is make me coffee.
I think that the excitement about this stuff that I hear from you, I also hear it in other people of our age bracket, like Gen Xers.
Mm-hmm. Thank you for not putting me with the boomers. Thank you.
Oh no, you're fully Gen X. Yeah,
yeah. I'm boomer adjacent though. It's close. Boomer. It's a close call.
Yeah, you barely. Yeah, you have a close call. You by the skin of your teeth.
Yeah, kind of.
But I think that people of our age bracket are more excited about this stuff than other people because it reminds us of the feelings we had when we were young, when we were getting to build stuff.
Blink tags.
Yeah, I mean back when we were staring at Commodore 64s, yeah. Trying to get them to, yes. You know, do stuff on the screen, and every new thing that you were able to do
was exciting. It was exciting. Yeah, peek and poke.
I heard Leo on Windows Weekly the other day say he was like, "I'm just finally happy that I get to talk about something other than the new phone."
Yes, I understand that. He was stuck in that loop for over a decade.
We all have been. We've all been.
Yep, you're right.
We've all been stuck in this stupid loop. Yes. And nobody cares about that crap anymore.
Yes.
And I think there's the excitement comes from just being able to actually treat the computer as a project.
Anymore. Yes. Yeah. And that's, you know, moving to Omarchi was the best thing I ever did. Holy crap.
I'm coming behind you. I'm going to be doing this.
I mean, I was Windows because of the driver situation with Roadcaster. But mm-hmm. once, and I thanked that guy who wrote those those Pipewire scripts. I forget his name right now. But once I had that, I was like, oh, okay, now I can just have Linux. And I forgot. I'd forgotten how much fun it is to have the computer customize exactly the way you want it. I want it to do this. And now I have this robot and I say, make my computer like this. Okay. Mm-hmm. Oh, yes, it's fun. Without the coding skills.
I had lunch with John Spurlock and his wife this past weekend.
Was he in town?
He was, yeah. His wife is a medical researcher.
Oh. At Princeton? Doesn't she work at Princeton?
Rutgers,
okay.
Yeah, and so she was in town at UAB for a conference, for a medical conference, and he was like, hey, I'm going to be in town. You want to have some lunch with us?
Nice.
Awesome. So, yeah, so I took him out to lunch, and we sat for a couple hours, had good conversation. It was so much fun to get to see John again. I hadn't seen him in a while.
Yeah, since Dallas, I think, right?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Yeah, and his wife is just a sweetheart. And
I hear she's a supermodel.
Yeah, we were, so she evidently does research into like metabolism and stuff.
Mm.
And so I was just
you're all in on that.
No, I was like, I know this is going to be weird. I'm going to try not to be like a fanboy of you, but I want to ask you all kinds of questions.
I need to know. Help me. Should I be eating beef milkshakes? This is the number one question.
What is your opinion on beef milkshake and lemon yogurt at the same time?
Yeah.
Can we get a
yes? How is your gut health? Is the next question?
So we were talking, and he was just saying how kind of demoralizing a lot of this AI slop is. And I agreed with him. Like, you know, it some days you just like, you look at it all and it just kind of makes you want to throw your hands up and go do something else. Because he was saying, well, you know, what got him into podcasting in the beginning was just the human connection aspect. Of it all.
Sure, sure.
Yeah. And I think, I really hope that you're right about this being a temporary situation, because I think that if we don't, I think the AI stuff really matters. It matters a lot, and it's really helpful in a lot of ways in our life. But what's happened is we've overshot, and it's forcing its way into areas that it has no business in. And I think that is actually doing harm. And I hope that this is a temporary thing that recedes. Cause if it's not, I think it's damaging long-term.
You know, it kind of reminds me of the Script Kiddies era. Mm-hmm. Do you remember that?
Yeah.
When we had some pretty easy, it was probably PHP, but Perl and, you know, just Script Kiddies. And they would just write stuff to write stuff. And they could just do it. And there was a reaction, you know, there was a response. But it was always kind of destructive. But that, I think that passed. You know, some of them grew up to be super excellent hackers. And they're all rich on Bitcoin. But in general, I think that's this kind of phase. I really hope, I'm with you, I hope so.
I think we also have this is going to be a little bit of an out there type of statement, but I think we also have a problem that may be coming at us with just knowing all the answers to things. And I'm putting answers in quotes. Mm-hmm. I don't mean that they're actually true. I just mean I think a little bit of mystery in our life is important.
Yeah.
You know, we have a problem. There's this longstanding sort of, you know, there's many sort of fundamental problems in the philosophy of religion. One of them is like the problem of evil. But another one is the hiddenness of God. So you know, this problem, you could say, well, if, you know, if God exists, why is he hidden from us in so many ways?
Mm-hmm.
And it's rightly defined as a quote problem, the problem of the hiddenness of God. But then there's this paradox, and humans are nothing if they're not paradoxical. But, you know, we're bothered by the hiddenness of God, but we also despise a person who gives us all the answers.
Hmm.
You know, a friend of ours who was married to this Presbyterian minister for many years, she describes this moment, they got a divorce, and she describes this moment that she had in the car where one of her kids from the back seat asked a question about God. And her husband gave this long technical answer about, you know, answering this question. And she said at that moment, she knew she couldn't be married to this guy anymore.
Wow.
Because she had heard this so many times. And what she really just wanted him to say was, you know, I don't know.
Yeah. Which would have been the right answer.
Yeah. She wanted him to say, I don't know, son. It's a mystery.
Mm.
And we want to know the answers, and we want to see these things clearly. But mystery is also, I think, a critical component to the human experience.
Mm.
We need it. And so if we try to construct a world where AI or whatever these things are, these where technology gives us the answers to all of our questions, I don't think it's going to be a world we want to live in.
No, I don't think that'll happen. I'm already seeing Gen Alpha change, Gen Z, the Zetters.
Yeah, the young people younger than me, a lot of them are highly AI skeptical.
Yeah. No, they're just not even interested.
Yeah, they don't care.
Yeah.
not at all. Yeah.
Before we dance on out of here, I did want to mention that Daniel J. Lewis has proposed a new namespace tag. GitHub discussion 770. Yeah. It's in the show notes for today's show. This is the contact. I think it's called contact. In fact, you said, quote, makes a ton of sense. Structured way to expose podcast contact info, host emails, social handles, business contact, currently scattered across iTunes tagged email/owner fields with no standardization. I think it's solid. He's did this in consultation with, Alex Sanfilippo, who would call me about it. And I said, hey, man, this sounds like a tag. So I want to make sure that people know about this. Let's bang it around and let's get this thing working. Because, you know, I did the town hall. Did we talk about that?
Yeah, you did. Uh-huh.
Yeah. So I did the town hall and, you know, everyone sounded on board with it. So, you know, the podcast booking industry is waiting for this. And as usual, it'll take some fringe group nobody cares about to make it happen.
A fringe group.
Fringe group that nobody cares about. Uh-huh.
Yeah, riding the fringe.
Yeah.
That's what, yeah.
So go take a look at that, please, people.
So I think that tag, my understanding, and tell me if this is yours, but my understanding is that Alex Sanfilippo proposed a specific podcast : booking tag.
Well,
and then Daniel pivoted and said, why don't we make this a little bit broader and have a contact tag of which booking is one of the
functions. Which I think is a great idea.
I think it's better.
I think it is better. I think that's, and but he already shows the different examples of how it could work in different different scenarios. So I think that is good. I think that's a broader way of looking at it. And I think we just need a booking tag. That's easy. But this as a contact is broader, more usable, and even has some examples like sponsor, pitch guest, invite interview, feedback, which is interesting. And that's really what contact is. But you can specify it. You know, if you want to, if it's just feedback, this is the email address. If it's a sponsor related, here's the number you call. If it's a pitch, here's the booking system we use, et cetera, et cetera. Now, I think that's great. I think he did a good job on that.
When I first saw Daniel say, hey, why don't we do it this other way? I was like, oh my God, here comes a JSON file. And then it ended up not being the case. He wrote a very good proposal.
Yeah. It's good.
Now we have a quicker way to know who to call on our segment of where we call scammers.
Yes. Hello. I'm Sam looking for my boyfriend. We need another one of those segments, Dave. Get me one of those numbers for next show.
I'll bring you a fresh one next week.
All right. Well, thanks to people in our Value for Value project is what podcastindex.org is. You can go take a look at it. You've already heard what it is, where it started 6 years ago. Why we're doing it, why we do it. Well, we didn't explain why we do it for no money other than it's somehow our job. And so we're doing it.
Because we're nuts.
Because we're nuts. You know, some dude in Alabama with some chickens, some dude in Texas with some guns, yeah.
With some guns.
And you can support us through Value for Value, your time, your talent, or your treasure. We love the Fiat Fun coupons. You can do that by going to podcastindex.org. Down at the bottom, there's a big red donate button. You can send it to our PayPal, which accepts a whole bunch of different payment methods, or through the boosts, the boostergrams with the Modern Podcasting 2.0 apps. And we say thank you for the 100 sats from Lyceum. That's Martin Lindiskog. He's actually talking. Is he talking back and forth with Sam? Interesting.
They're doing a co-listening.
Yeah, co-listening. Yeah. Co-listening. Okay. Mm-hmm. Let me see if I can go back. So 1776, I'm going back in time a little bit. It is Labor Day in Europe. On May Day, celebrate spring. Indie podcasters unite. Here's a Liberty Boost with 1776 Satoshis. Co-listening and chatting with Sam Sethi on truefans.fm. Go podcasting. This month, I will celebrate 20 years of podcasting. I will wear my Podcasting 2.0 certified t-shirt on my birthday, May 25th. All the best from Martin. And so then he has a note to Sam. Sam said, with 1892 sats, next week's power will be all about Fountain's push into music and their recent music event in London. We'll also talk about their new music hosting platform and support for premium RSS. Plus, James and I will be reviewing all the new video pricing announcements from Buzzsprout, Captivate, Flightcast, Libsyn, etc. Already actioned your request for follow counts. Told you. Coming next week.
Nice.
Plus the contact/booking tag. Woo! Sending you a Liverpool FC Super Comet. Liverpool Football Club was founded in 1892. Ooh, very nice.
Oh, well, that's a good book. Yeah.
So what we need now, Eric PP, is when we have this co-listening that Sam is doing with Martin, we need threaded boostergrams on the helipad. I'm just saying, it needs to be threaded now. And so Martin replies, Sam, cool beans, did you listen to Fountain's live show? I tried to find it here on True Fans, but I listened to it for a bit on Fountain.fm. I am a synth pop guy, so hip-hop rap is not my cup of tea, LOL. The venue in London is a classical building, right? Okay, so they're just talking to each other, and I'm reading it. I don't know what I'm doing here.
It's like co-parenting.
Yeah.
Between the two of them, they birthed a boost.
$29.97 from Silas on Linux. As long as you don't have a whitelist for proposals, can AI generate new tag proposals in a loop every second? Good luck.
Yeah. Please do.
1701 from Martin again. Dave, have you read the book Generation 64, How the Commodore 64 Inspired a Generation of Swedish Gamers?
I have not read that. That sounds like something I will be reading there.
Eric, yes. 3333 from Hey Citizen, just returning value on a completely unrelated note. I hope you remember that I have over 1 billion subscribers and should appear at the top of most searches on the index.
Got you covered.
$29.97 from C. Brooklyn. Thank you very much. $55.55 from Salty Crayon. And he says he's sending some V for the chicken guy. There's $39.96 from Silas on Linux. Bark for me, did that, and I hit the delimiter. So it's over to you, Dave.
I got some PayPals. We got $5.33 from Michael Kimmerer. Thank you, Michael.
Thank you.
Dreb Scott, $15. Hey, Dreb.
Thank you, Dreb.
Dreb, what is your weight now? We need a weight update.
He used to keep me updated. I don't know if he's how he's doing on that.
No, he can just vibe code like a scale thing that'll shoot you an email automatically.
Yes.
Chris Bernardic, $5. Thank you, Chris. We got a new monthly subscriber, $10 a month from, who is this from? Mark Van Patten.
You've been defragmented.
Says that's, MVP, go podcasting.
Yes, MVP is a maker of many fine AI slop end of show mixes on the No Agenda show.
Oh, really? Van Patten, that sounds Dutch.
Yes, I think he is.
Charles Hicks, $5. Thank you, Charles. Appreciate that. We got Cameron Rose, $25. Thank you, Cameron. Ralph Estep, $50.
Whoa, I'm going to hit a baller for that. Okay,
Shaqala, yeah.
20-inch blades on the Impala.
Thank you, Ralph. Appreciate that. That's all the PayPals. And then we've got I only show one boostergram.
Yeah.
And that's from Comic Strip Blogger.
Okay.
It's really not a delimiter if it's just the one comma in the file, right?
You know, it's a hard stop.
Hard stop, yeah. 20,000 sats from Comic Strip Blogger through Fountain. He says, howdy, Dave and Adam. Please tell your audience to subscribe to a podcast by Daniel J. Lewis and his son, www.nontopical.com.
Oh.
It's about, quote, a father and son walk and talk about everything and nothing at all, unquote. They have some fun topics. Give it a listen. Yo, CSB, AI Arch Wizard, still stonewalled by Adam. This was $15.43 when sent.
I'm sorry, CSB. It's just been crazy, man. It's been crazy.
That's going to be the subtitle of CSB's autobiography.
Stonewalled by Adam.
Adam never got on my podcast.
Daniel J. Lewis, I didn't know you were doing it. Your kid's talking, huh?
I didn't know that either.
I woke up one day and his kid's talking, doing a podcast.
Daniel said that's not him.
Oh.
Oh, it's an AI forgery.
Ah, there you go. Slopcast.
He got slopjacked.
Slopjacked.
Yeah. Somebody slopjacked his voice.
Slopjacked. Thank you. Show title. I needed that.
At the last minute.
At the last minute. Any other, anything else, or is that all it? That's it?
I guess that's
think
it.
Think that's it? Yeah.
Yeah. I've got 10 pages of stuff here, but why read it now when I've been collecting it for a year and a half?
So that's nontopical.com, Daniel J. So
www.nontopical.com. Nontopical.com. What is this? We discuss true ultimate power. Man,
is this a slop
CSB? Have you been drinking, brother? Because I'm not sure I understand in any way what this is.
Oh, No Agenda Millennial says, do not Google slop jacking. Okay, that's a good point.
Urban Dictionary, avoid it, please.
All right, Brother Dave, thank you so much, brother, for all you're doing. You are a hero amongst men. Boardroom, thank you all for being here. And, of course, we will actually... I think I'll be in Europe next Friday. We'll let you know if we have a board meeting or not. Until then, have a great weekend. Yes, adios.
Podcasts are cool.
You have been listening to Podcasting 2.0. Visit podcastindex.org for more information.
Go podcasting!
Some dude in Alabama with chickens